Some people seem easy to understand. Their character appears obvious on first meeting. Appearances, however, can be deceptive. A Friend in Need by Somerset Maugham.
For 30 years now, I have been studying my fellow men. I do not know very much about them. I shrug my shoulders when people tell me that their first impressions of a person are always right. I think they must have small insight or great vanity. For my own part, I find that the longer I know people, the more they puzzle me. These reflections have occurred to me because I read in this morning's paper that Edward Hyde Burton had died in Kobe. He was a merchant, and he had been in business in Japan for many years. I knew him very little, but he interested me because once he gave me a great surprise. Unless I had heard the story from his own lips, I should never have believed that he was capable of such an action. It was more startling because both in appearance and manner he suggested a very definite type. Here, if ever, was a man all of a piece. He was a tiny little fellow, not much more than 5'4" in height, and very slender. With white hair, a red face much wrinkled, and blue eyes. I suppose he was about 60 when I knew him. He was always neatly and quietly dressed, in accordance with his age and station. Though his offices were in Kobe, Burton often came down to Yokohama. I happened on one occasion to be spending a few days there, waiting for a ship, and I was introduced to him at the British Club. We played bridge together. He played a good game, and a generous one. He did not talk very much, either then or later, when we were having drinks, but what he said was sensible. He had a quiet, dry humor. He seemed to be popular at the club, and afterwards, when he had gone, they described him as one of the best. It happened that we were both staying at the Grand Hotel, and next day he asked me to dine with him. I met his wife, fat, elderly, and smiling, and his two daughters. It was evidently a united and affectionate family. I think the chief thing that struck me about Burton was his kindliness. There was something very pleasing in his mild blue eyes. His voice was gentle. You could not imagine that he could possibly raise it in anger. His smile was benign. Here was the man who attracted you, because you felt in him a real love for his fellows. At the same time, he liked his game of cards and his cocktail. He could tell with point a good and spicy story, and in his youth, he had been something of an athlete. He was a rich man, and he had made every penny himself. I suppose one thing that made you like him was that he was so small and frail. He aroused your instincts of protection. You felt that he could not bear to hurt a fly. One afternoon, I was sitting in the lounge of the Grand Hotel when Burton came in and seated himself in the chair next to mine. "What do you say to a little drink?" He clapped his hands for a boy and ordered 2 gin fizzes. As the boy brought them, a man passed along the street outside and, seeing me, waved his hand. "Do you know Turner?" said Burton as I nodded a greeting. "I've met him at the club. I'm told he's a remittance man." "Yes, I believe he is. We have a good many here. He plays bridge well." "They generally do. There was a fellow here last year, oddly enough a namesake of mine, who was the best bridge player I ever met. I suppose you never came across him in London. Lenny Burton, he called himself. I believe he'd belong to some very good clubs. No, I don't believe I remember the name. He was quite a remarkable player. He seemed to have an instinct about the cards. It was uncanny. I used to play with him a lot. He was in Kobe for some time. Burton sipped his gin fizz. It's rather a funny story, he said. He wasn't a bad chap. I liked him. He was always well-dressed and smart-looking. He was handsome in a way, with curly hair and pink and white cheeks. Women thought a lot of him. There was no harm in him, you know. He was only wild. Of course, he drank too much. Those sort of fellows always do. A bit of money used to come on for him once a quarter, and he made a bit more by card playing. He won a good deal of mine, I know that. Burton gave a kindly chuckle. I knew from my own experience that he could lose money at bridge with a good grace. He stroked his shaven chin with his thin hand. The veins stood out on it, and it was almost transparent. I suppose that is why he came to me when he went broke, that and the fact that he was a namesake of mine. He came to see me in my office one day and asked me for a job. I was rather surprised. He told me that there was no more money coming from home, and he wanted to work. I asked him how old he was. 35, he said. And what have you been doing hitherto, I asked him. Well, nothing very much, he said. I couldn't help laughing. I'm afraid I can't do anything for you just yet, I said. Come back and see me in another 35 years, and I'll see what I can do. He didn't move. He went rather pale. He hesitated for a moment, and then he told me that he had had bad luck at cards for some time. He hadn't been willing to stick to bridge. He'd been playing poker, and he'd got trimmed. He hadn't a penny. He pawned everything he had. He couldn't pay his hotel bill, and they wouldn't give him any more credit. He was down and out. If he couldn't get something to do, he'd have to commit suicide. I looked at him for a bit. I could see now that he was all to pieces. He'd been drinking more than usual. And he looked 50. The girls wouldn't have thought so much of him if they'd seen him then. Well, isn't there anything you can do except play cards, I asked him. I can swim, he said. Swim? I could hardly believe my ears. It seemed such an insane answer to give. I swam for my university. I got some glimmering of what he was driving at. I've known too many men who were little tin gods at their university to be impressed by it. I was a pretty good swimmer myself when I was a young man, I said. Suddenly, I had an idea. Pausing in his story, Burton turned to me. Do you know Kobe? He asked. No, I said. I passed through it once, but I only spent a night there. Then you don't know the Shioya Club. When I was a young man, I swam from there round the beacon and landed at the creek of Tarumi. It's over 3 miles, and it's rather difficult on account of the currents round the beacon. Well, I told my young namesake about it, and I said to him that if he'd do it, I'd give him a job. I could see he was rather taken aback. You say you're a swimmer, I said. I'm not in very good condition, he answered. I didn't say anything. I shrugged my shoulders. He looked at me for a moment, and then he nodded. All right, he said. When do you want me to do it? I looked at my watch. It was just after 10. The swim shouldn't take you much over an hour and a quarter. I'll drive round to the creek at 12:30 and meet you. I'll take you back to the club to dress, and then we'll have lunch together. Done, he said. We shook hands. I wished him good luck, and he left me. I had a lot of work to do that morning, and I only just managed to get to the creek at Tarumi at 12:30, but I needn't have hurried. He never turned up. Did he funk it at the last moment, I asked? No, he didn't funk it. He started all right, but of course he'd ruined his constitution by drink and dissipation. The currents round the beacon were more than he could manage. We didn't get the body for about 3 days. I didn't say anything for a moment or two. I was a trifle shocked. Then I asked Burton a question. When you made him that offer of a job, did you know he'd be drowned? He gave a little mild chuckle, and he looked at me with those kind and candid blue eyes of his. He rubbed his chin with his hand. Well, I hadn't got a vacancy in my office at the moment.
Cruelty.
Deceptive.
Fellow man.
For somebody's own part, or for the part of.
Merchant.
Definite.
All of a piece.
Wrinkle.
Accordance.
Elderly.
Evidently.
Affectionate.
Mild.
Cocktail.
Spicy.
Something of.
Instinct.
Lounge.
Clap.
Fizz.
Remittance.
Oddly.
Namesake.
Uncanny.
Sip.
Chap.
In a way.
Curly.
With a bad grace, or with a good grace.
Stroke.
Shave.
Vain.
Transparent.
Broke.
Hitherto.
Stick to.
Trim.
Pawn.
Down and out.
Commit.
Be to pieces, or go all to pieces.
Insane.
Glimmering.
Drive at.
Beacon.
Creek.
Current.
Aback.
In bad condition, or in good condition.
Turn up.
Funk.
Constitution.
Dissipation.
Trifle.
Candid.
Rub.
Vacancy.